Books of the Bible. God told Hosea the prophet to marry a prostitute to illustrate Israel's unfaithfulness to God and God's faithful love for Israel. When Hosea's wife returned to prostitution and was enslaved, he bought her back and loved her. When you are mistreated and abandoned, remember that is how you treated God. But if you turn to God, He will forgive you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're back here on Witness Wednesday at Wretched Radio. Been doing something a little bit different today. No Todd. We're actually listening in to Ray Comfort, Easy Zwane, Mark Spence, and Oscar Navarro. The crew from Living Waters recently on the campus of Cal State Fullerton at the Turning Point USA Speak Your Mind event.
What's your name?
Alex.
Alex. Nice to meet you, Alex.
Thank you. Nice to meet you as well. I wanted to go back to the homosexuality topic we were talking about earlier because I know you mentioned that it is a sin in the Bible and that if you want to be a homosexual and then convert to Christianity and kind of veer away from that, I know you mentioned that a little bit. I just wanted to ask how is that possible? Because your sexuality isn't a switch that you can turn on and off. I'm queer myself. I know tons of people in my life who are queer, who are Christian, and they're still Christian despite their sexuality. They still have faith despite their sexuality. And even though they believe, are they still not allowed in heaven just because of who they love?
No, you figure this for yourself. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves will inherit God's kingdom. That's what the Bible says. Now, homosexuals say, I was born like it, I can't help it. Okay, I'm going to confess something here. Right from when I was a little kid, I would have liked to have committed adultery. I was born like it. It was a sinful desire in my heart. And I needed to be born again, so I didn't have sinful desires. I had desires that were pleasing to God. And it's the same with homosexuals. They're born like it because they've got a sinful nature. They choose that path of sin. After that Bible verse, it says, and such were some of you. So a Christian is someone who's turned from all sin, lying, stealing, fornication, blasphemy, homosexuality, adultery, all those things. You turn from them, and God enables you to turn from them by giving you a new heart with new desires. Does that make sense? Well, thank you very much. What's your name?
I'm James.
James. How can I help you, James?
This whole week, everyone's just talking about, Charlie Kirk and his dad and stuff. Some of them celebrate his death. Some of them, mourn for his death. But I just want to ask, but what about the murderer? No one's talking about him. So I just want to ask, can the murderer of Charlie Kirk go to heaven?
If he repents and trusts in Jesus, he can.
Yeah.
But it should still be put to death according to the law. Okay, so Romans 13, you a Christian?
Yes.
Your little dove on your t-shirt gave me a clue. Okay, next person. Thank you, man.
Hello.
Are you a Christian?
No.
Okay, great. Nice to meet you. What's
your name? Is that all right?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Cool.
Remember your name?
Paris.
Paris, okay.
So about homosexuality, so are you saying that it is a sin or is it not?
Did you hear what I said?
Well, I tried to, but it was kind of boring, so could you repeat it?
Thank you for your honesty, Paris. Let me
You're
repeat
welcome.
It. The Bible says, do not be deceived.
Right.
Neither fornicators nor idolaters,
mm-hmm.
nor thieves, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites will inherit the kingdom of God. So it's very clear. It may not be a sin in the eyes of man, but it's a sin in the eyes of God.
Sin in the eyes of God. So what about people who are not Christians? Will they still go to hell if they're homosexual?
If they
homosexual?
Die in their sins, and that's why we're here. We're here to tell you that the gift of God is eternal life. You know, I hope there's some Muslims here. I hope there's some Hindus and Buddhists, because Christianity is good news for the whole of humanity.
Yeah.
All those great religions are man striving to make it to heaven by their own religious works. And God is a judge. He'll not be bribed. You cannot bribe God to forgive your sins by your religious works. So God made a way for the whole of humanity to find everlasting life. So the gospel is good news for Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, atheists, agnostics. Whosoever will may come, because the gift of God is eternal life. It's as simple as that. Now, I see your hand is on your hip. The body language is there. What are you trying to say?
It seems as though you're using sin as, and Christianity as a whole against things that you don't think are right personally, such as homosexuality. You can't really... I mean, I grew up in a religious family, but
What
using
sort?
Christianity as
what
a weapon...
What sort of religious family?
Christian.
Christian?
Yes.
Your parents Christians?
Yes.
Well, they're praying for you and you're here because of their
They
prayers.
Are praying for me. They yeah. do go to church. They are very Christian, although they don't use their Christianity nor their religion as a weapon or to condemn other people and how they choose to live their life.
I don't know any Christians that do.
It seems as though you do because you're saying it's a sin, although...
That's not a weapon. I've got to tell the truth. I'm a Christian, so I speak the truth. And
you
I
speak
say
for
what
truth.
The Bible says.
That's good. That's good that you speak for truth.
Let me give you a quick scenario, okay?
Okay.
Let's say you're a doctor and you've got before you a patient who's got cancer, but he looks well. He goes to the gym every day. But you're a doctor and you know he's dying because you've seen x-rays. You can see on the x-rays poison seeping through his system. He's got 2 weeks to live.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a cure in your pocket. Do you give him the cure or show him the x-rays?
What's your point here?
I'd like to know what you would do. You're the doctor. You've got x-rays of him dying. You've got a cure in your pocket. Do you give him the cure for his disease or show him the x-ray?
This hypothetical doesn't make sense.
I'll tell you, I'll be the doctor then, okay?
The x-ray. Yeah, you be the doctor. You obviously know.
A doctor who knows what he's doing will not give a patient a cure who's not convinced of the disease. So if the doctor knows what he's doing, he's going to say, see these x-rays, see this poison seeping through your system. When the patient begins to sweat and see the seriousness of his condition, he will say, "Well, doc, I can see what's going on. My life's in danger. What should I do?" Now he's ready for the cure. Now he'll appreciate it and he'll appropriate it. And what I'm trying to do today, Paris,
yes,
is show you the x-rays that you're a sinner in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to die. After death, the judgment.
Yes.
Yes.
We're all going to die.
Yeah. Do you know why we die according to the Bible?
Why?
The Bible says the wages of sin is death.
The wages of sin?
Yes.
What are sins?
Very famous Bible verse. Let me tell you what it means.
What are the sins that I'm dying?
Let me tell you what it means.
Okay.
We'll go back to what the sins are in a minute. The wages of sin is death. It's saying God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal that's committed murder, but he thinks lightly of murder. The judge says, "I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you deserve. This is what you've earned." And Paris, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. You're in a holding cell.
Hang on a minute.
Let me finish because this is good. You're in a holding cell with a nice blue roof, good air conditioning, good lighting, but this life is a holding cell, and your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. For next person.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
My name is Christian.
Are you a Christian?
No. I have a question. In regards to immigration, would you say Jesus is against or with immigrants?
He's against the violation of the law. You should not break the law. So he's against, obviously, illegal immigration.
Right.
Thank you, man.
Wait, hold on. Well, what about the verse that says that, like, love your neighbor as you love yourself?
Yeah, he's the neighbor. He's in Mexico. You love him as yourself. He's a neighbor. He's not in your country. You love everybody.
He loves everybody.
I love you, Christian.
Yeah, I love you too.
Oh, thank you.
So you agree with what I said.
So if you've got any other questions.
No, I just wanted to ask you that.
Yeah. What's your name?
Adam.
Adam?
Adam,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy. We've got Solomon, we've got Christian, we've got Adam.
I was going to say, are you pro-life?
Yes, of course.
Okay, are you pro-Palestinian?
I don't know what you mean.
Like, want to stop the genocide with innocent kids that are dying.
Let me put it this way. I'm not here to talk about politics. I'm here to talk about the gospel. That's why I've been invited here.
Okay, well.
So listen, where are you going when you die, Adam?
What was that?
Where are you going when you die?
Hopefully heaven.
Hopefully, so you're not sure?
Who knows? God knows.
Could you end up in hell?
Probably, who knows?
So God knows. So
God is all-knowing, all-merciful.
So
I don't know.
What are you doing to make it to heaven?
I pray 5 times a day.
Why is it 5? Shouldn't it be more? This is your eternal salvation.
No, you do 5 to get... It's discipline.
It's discipline. What else are you doing to get to heaven?
Be respectful to other people.
What happens if you're not respectful?
Then it doesn't look good on you.
No,
then God judges you.
Do you think lusting after women is respectable?
It's not. That's why you try to lower your gaze.
It's not lowering your gaze. You don't even look. That's what Islam says. Lower your gaze. No. Jesus said if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery with her in your heart. And you consider Jesus to be a prophet. He cannot lie.
So right.
That puts you in big trouble on Judgment Day because you've committed adultery in your heart, whether you lower your gaze or not. What about lying and stealing?
It does. No. You're absolutely right. But it's what you do after.
What do you do after?
Yeah. So now you have, now that you understood it, now you have to try harder to lower your gaze or try to avoid what you were just saying.
Okay. Do you believe God is a judge?
He's the all-knowing and all-merciful, so yeah.
Ultimate judge, okay?
Yes.
And you have to stand before him on Judgment Day.
Right.
And you violated the law of Moses, is that correct?
The
law of Moses, the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, okay.
So you've lied and stolen in your life?
I have.
So you're a lying thief? Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Maybe I have.
Yeah, well, that's blasphemy.
And I stopped.
It doesn't mean anything if you stop. It's like to a judge. Listen, saying to a judge, I robbed a bank, but I stopped.
But you think, okay, you're telling me if you sin, you're just done?
Yes.
It's done for you?
The soul that sins shall die, and you cannot wash away your own sins.
But really, in the Quran, it says he's all-knowing, all-merciful. What does mercy mean?
I'm not sure what all mercy means, but the Bible says...
Merciful.
Well, let me give you a perspective on that. The Bible says God is holy and just, and he by no means clear the guilty. And all the amount of religious works on your own part cannot wash away your sins. It's like trying to bribe a judge in a court of law. And the Bible says, Adam, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God. So don't try and earn everlasting life by your religious works. Jesus came and suffered and died on the cross so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He took the punishment for our sins, rose again on the third day, defeated death, and if you'll simply repent, turn from those sins and trust in Jesus, not your religious works, God promises, this is the God of creation, promises he'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good or you're religious, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. Adam, this is great news for you.
Yeah, okay.
And don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more of the crew from Living Waters on the campus of Cal State Fullerton, next on Wretched Radio. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside-down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day, and that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak,
speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back here on Witness Wednesday at Wretched Radio. Today we've been listening to Ray Comfort, E.Z. Zwane, Mark Spence, and Oscar Navarro at Turning Point USA's Speak Your Mind event that took place recently on the campus of Cal State Fullerton.
So what's your name?
My name's Jake.
Jake?
Yes.
Jake, nice to meet you, Jake.
Likewise.
What's your question?
I've got some scriptural questions.
So you're not a Christian, but you've got scriptural questions?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Okay.
Just because I'm not a Christian doesn't mean I don't believe in the gospel. Earlier, when the prostitute was brought up, and Jesus said, sin no more, do you think that she never again committed a sin?
Don't think so.
Okay, so then what was the meaning of that passage?
See, a Christian is someone who perpetually, do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Perpetually turns from sin. If you get up in the morning and say, today I sin, that's called sinning after the flesh. And you need to check yourself and see if you're playing the hypocrite, if you're genuinely saved. Because once you're saved, you'll want to turn from sin with all your heart. Not only because of what it is, an abomination in God's eyes, but because of what it does. Sin and death a hand in hand. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins it shall die. Lust brings forth sin. Sin is conceived brings forth death. So when you embrace sin, you embrace death. So it's very unwise to do that. That's why God wants you to turn from sin and trust alone in Jesus. What's stopping you coming to Christ today?
Nothing. I mean, I'm fully...
Have you sinned against God?
Sure.
You've violated those commandments?
Sure.
Where will you go if you died today?
I don't know. I mean, it's a wide world out there.
You'd end up in hell. You've got God's promise on it.
This is hell. This is the top floor of hell.
This is Southern California, too.
This is the top floor.
This is not hell. Look at the sky. Why do you think so many people are here with a governor like we've got? It's the weather.
That brings me to my other question. What is the meaning of render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's? What does that mean to you?
Pay your taxes when that's you.
Pay your taxes.
Yeah,
do you think...
And obey the government as long as it doesn't violate God's law.
So did John the Baptist render unto Caesar? Did he pay taxes?
I don't know.
He did not.
How do you know he didn't pay taxes?
He separated... He went into the wilderness. He went into the wilderness. He separated himself from society. He sold all of his possessions, as Jesus said was required.
Sold all his possessions?
I think we could.
You're getting your stories mixed up, Jake. So do you ever read the Bible?
All the time.
You do? Can I give you a book called Scientific Facts in the Bible? Would you be interested?
I'm not really interested in science, to be honest. Science does not remove the terror of the gods.
Say that again.
Science does not remove the terror of the gods.
Okay, thank you for that. So, are you a Christian?
I'm Catholic.
Okay, have you been born again?
I'm sorry?
Have you been born again?
I have.
You have? What does that mean?
I have. Specifically for what my parents told me it meant, I grew up mainly Catholic because of my family. I was baptized
as a baby?
As a baby, but I was rebaptized actually last month.
As an adult?
Yes.
Okay. Did you put your trust in Jesus alone and not your church?
I did.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Thank you. How are you today?
Good.
Good. Okay.
So are we done?
No, I had a question for you.
Okay.
I just wanted to get that out of the way first. As a Christian, do you believe that you love thy neighbor?
Yes.
You do. So as a Hispanic in the community, I have been told slurs. I have heard others been told slurs by people who claim to be Christian and to love thy neighbor. But where do you draw the line at
What's
love thy
name?
Neighbor? Maria?
Maria, Hitler claimed to be a Christian. Did you know that? A lot of people claim to be Christians. There's a lot of hypocrisy. Read your Bible and tell you what a Christian is. Someone who loves. If they haven't got love, they're not a Christian. The Bible makes that clear. Okay?
If I was an immigrant and I came here illegally, regardless, would you still love me?
Of course.
Do you think all Christians should still love anybody else regardless?
Yes, we'll love you and wave to you as you go back to your country. Hello, what's your name?
My name's Sophia. Nice to meet you.
Sophia.
Sophia, yes.
Okay, Sophia.
You were saying something earlier with Charlie Kirk's the person who murdered him. Did you say that he deserved to die?
Oh, yes.
Do you believe
if he's guilty? Yeah, absolutely.
If he's guilty. What about all the people who, with stuff you don't believe, with abortion, do you believe they deserve to die? Or anyone who's homosexual?
Well, anyone who kills a baby, yeah, they should give up their life. The Bible says that's very clear.
But
if you take a life, you give your life.
Yes.
And that shows the value of human life.
Why are you telling people, why are humans telling each other that they should die? It's God's decision. Not yours. You shouldn't be the one to kill those people. You're not the decider. God's
That's
the
true.
Decider.
That's true.
So why are you telling everybody around them? No matter, it's their choice at the end of the day. God literally put us down on this earth and said, you decide if you choose me or don't choose me.
Sophia, the Bible makes it very clear in Romans 13 that the law or the authority puts it this way, bears not the sword in vain. There's such a thing as justice, and justice demands that if you take someone's life, you give your life. We have so many murders in this country because there's no fear of God. There's no obeying of God's word. So if you love God, you'll do what he says.
So do you believe anyone who has, like, who's done big sins like adultery, murder, and all that, do you think that we should create the justice for them?
No.
But you just said that you would kill the murderers.
No, I would not kill murderers.
No, you said that it's okay to kill
murderers. I'm saying it is lawful for a country to take the life of a murderer.
But you said that we
should
kill him.
Okay.
But what did you say then about the murder of Charlie Kirk? What do you think his punishment should be then?
He should be put to death if he's guilty.
So you think us as a human race should put him to death because he murdered Charlie Kirk?
Of course. Now, do you believe in abortion?
I believe in the freedom of choice.
It's for okay to kill a baby in the womb.
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's some instances.
So you believe in the taking of a life, a human life.
There are some instances where it's like, why would you expect someone who is a rape victim to have a kid?
Why would you say it's wrong to kill a murderer and you advocate murder of children in the womb?
I never said that. I said you said it.
You said it's okay to kill
babies
in the womb.
I never said it. I said, why are you saying it's okay? Don't twist my words.
Well, you said it's okay to kill babies.
No.
Let me ask you a question. Here's a question.
You're twisting my words.
I'm not going to twist your
words.
You
are.
Okay, we'll move on from me twisting your words. Answer me this question. Do you believe it's a baby in the womb?
I do believe it's a life. And in my personal experience, yes, I do think it's a baby.
Now, here's the question.
It's not a fully developed baby, but yes, it would eventually turn into a full baby, a fetus.
It's okay to kill a baby in the womb. When? What's the justification?
If some grown man decides to rape a baby, a 10-year-old, a 10-year-old can have a period. That means she is able to reproduce. Why would you force that on a 10-year-old who just suffered a massive trauma?
Good question.
Why would you
kill the innocent baby for the crime of the father?
The crime of the father won't even pay for the kid.
You didn't even hear the question,
so,
did you? Listen, I cannot reason with you because you think it's okay to kill babies.
Okay, me personally, I would keep the child if I had a kid.
Well, good for you.
But I don't think you should decide for everyone else just because they don't follow your same ideologies.
I'm not putting people to death or deciding for everybody else.
You are, and it's an awful way of thinking.
Okay.
You should let people to have the freedom of choice.
So,
God gave us the freedom of choice.
We're going to change the subject, if you're willing.
Yes.
What's going to happen to you on Judgment Day? Are you a good
That
person?
Depends on God, not me.
Okay,
my decisions, if I am kind and treat others the way I want to be treated, then it's his decision, no one else's.
Okay, let's see if you're doing that. Can you be honest with me?
Yes.
Have you lied and stolen?
Everyone has lied.
Not talking about everyone, we're talking about
yes,
you.
Yes, everyone has sinned.
So you're
I'm a
lying
sinner.
Thief. So
no, I'm not a lying thief.
You just said you've lied and stolen.
I've lied. Yeah. I haven't stolen.
Oh, you said you've lied and stolen.
I haven't stolen.
Have you used God's name in vain?
No, I haven't.
OMG?
I try not to.
Oh, you try not to.
I fix myself. Everyone sins, and it's how we do it after, how
so
we try and fix and change ourselves.
Let me share the gospel with you and get your thoughts.
I can share something part of the gospel too then.
Okay, share it with me.
If you're saying it's okay to murder people that have been, like you think it's their punishment, what about the parable of Jesus when he was outside and people were throwing stones at that woman who committed adultery? He said, throw a stone if you've never sinned. no one can throw a stone because everyone besides Jesus have sinned. So why should we force punishments on other people when we are sinners ourselves?
That's a good question. Now, Jesus could forgive that woman because he is on the way to the cross to take the punishment for her sins.
Yeah.
And for the sin of the whole world. And unless you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus, you're going to perish. You're going to end up in hell.
I agree.
I don't want that to happen to you. I care about you, and I want you to think about your eternal salvation. Don't let these peripheral issues discourage you or direct you away from that cross.
Okay,
in the cross, God provided a way for you to have everlasting life. It's the gift of God. Think about what God is offering you.
Okay, but with the parable, why is it that he said not to throw stones, so why should we kill those who think don't follow the Bible?
I'm not throwing stones.
You said you'd be okay with the punishment of murder, like to hurt the person.
Of course.
That's the equivalent to throwing the stone.
So we're going to have to agree to disagree.
I tell you what, if you've learned nothing else from listening to Ray Comfort engage these students today, one thing is how quickly he moves from their question into their conscience. It's pretty amazing and remarkable to listen to the man work. He knows he's there for one reason and one reason only. That is to present the gospel to as many people as possible. And he has done that today. And we're nowhere near finished. We've only gotten through just a portion of this event. We'll listen to more from the Living Waters crew on the campus of Cal State Fullerton next week here on Witness Wednesday. But until tomorrow, go serve your King.